Folks, I don't know why the Lord gives what he does sometimes, but I'm just the messenger, so I don't apologize for it or any other such thing, but in the fear of God, we just want to examine a little of the Word tonight and ask him to help us to be ready to meet him. Luke 19 and 41, I want to read some scripture here. I suppose we'll do this as a Bible study or however it happens here, but I just want to bring you a few thoughts and ask us to consider these things. Luke 19 and 41 says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." You know, this time was a time when Christ, actually the Son of God, was living on the earth. And this was a very special time. This was not like any time since the beginning of time, nor any time since. The Lord himself was here. And he went about preaching that the kingdom of God was come. The kingdom of God is here. It is upon you. And he gave the people the word of the Lord. He healed multitudes, the scripture says. And so there was a divine visitation of the Lord at this time that was very special. Did the people open their arms and accept it as a whole? What did they do with Jesus? They crucified him, didn't they? They rejected him as a nation. The leaders rejected him. And Jesus, it said here that he beheld the city of Jerusalem and he shed tears. It says he wept. You know, they speak of real time in when they talk about things happening, you know, that they can actually project what's going on across seas in real time here. We see it as it's happening. You know what? Jesus was in real time here. He was weeping over this city because he saw what was going to happen. Now he was there. He knew what was going to happen to this city. And he saw the tragedy that was going to come upon this place, and he wept over it before it happened. And he said, the days are going to come. I want to interpret what this is saying here. That he says, your enemies are going to cast a trench about thee. They're going to dig a trench around Jerusalem. And it says here, they're going to compass you around and keep you in on every side. And then they're going to lay this place even with the ground. Jesus saw that ahead of time, didn't he? And he wept. He saw what was going to happen. Because, he said, you didn't know the time of your visitation. Here I am, the Son of God. How much better does it get? How much better does it get than the Son of God is standing there before them, preaching the Word of God and healing all their sick? It don't get better than that, does it? And he said, this was your time of visitation. You didn't know it. You didn't recognize it. You didn't accept it. And so, there's going to be another time. And he said, the next time of visitation is going to be when this city is going to be laid even with the ground. And he said, they're going to put a trench around you. And I was reading some this afternoon about the armies of Titus and how this actually happened in, I can't remember, maybe 69 or 70 AD, very close to that time. And the armies of Titus surrounded Jerusalem until they were so starved, until the most hideous and unbelievable things were happening on every hand, all through the city. That was another time. The first time was the time of visitation. But the next time, and the Lord was there for several years, wasn't he? He was preaching the gospel. He was giving to people. He was calling them, follow me. I'll make out of you something different. And so he put that call to people. But they didn't know their time, did they? They didn't know their time. You know, I want to look at another parable that Jesus said in Luke, the 20th chapter, starting at verse 9. And it says, then began he to speak to the people this parable. Jesus speaking again. And he said, a certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen or farmers. He led it forth to people that were going to take care of this vineyard for him. And went into a country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandman. Now, I hope we get the whole picture here tonight. Because, folks, sometimes the Lord just visits you in a very special way. And he did that today for me. And so I give this to you from the Lord. I believe it's the word of the Lord tonight. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandman that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandman beat him and sent him away empty. Now that was a time of visitation, wasn't it? And again, verse 11, again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away. That was the second visitation, wasn't it? And then we see in verse 12, and again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. You know, God is calling after your heart and mine. He's wanting us to reverence him. He's calling to you and me. You know, he saved Sister Dina's life today. I'm convinced the angel of the Lord was there. That was perhaps meant for her. Satan may have meant it for her, but the angel of the Lord was there and caused there to be a difference, wasn't there? You know, the Lord of the vineyard, he said, he reasoned, it says, I'll send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Let us kill him, but that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy those husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. But you know what? This is exactly what happened, isn't it? There was how many visitations? Four visitations? And then there was another visitation, wasn't there? The last visitation, his parable says, I'm going to go and I'm going to destroy them. Now, you know, tonight, the Lord calls after you and me. And he calls. And he calls. But I want to tell you, one day, it's going to be our day. And one day, we're going to face the unleashed wrath or judgment of God. Whether that's for us to go to heaven, or whether that's for him to put us in a lake of fire that burns and never quits. You see, the Lord reaches out to you and me over and over. How many times has he reached out to you and me? How many times has he said, I want you to follow me? I want you to take up your cross, and I want you to leave the world behind, and I want you to live for me. And you say, but Lord, but I've got life to live. I've got things to do. I will. One day I will. I want to tell you something, folks, tonight. There's going to be a visitation And it's going to be the last visitation upon you and me. And there's going to be a time when it's not going to be the Spirit of the Lord trying to get us to be saved. It's going to be the judgment of the Lord at that time. And so tonight, I just want to encourage us to realize the time that you and I are in right now. We're in a time right now where God is calling for you and me to live for Him. Maybe He's called four times. Maybe He's called a dozen times. Maybe He's called 100 times. Maybe He's talked to us in the middle of the night. Maybe He's done that. There's a time, folks, where it'll be our last visitation before the final visitation, before the final time when the judgment comes. And so we're looking tonight to wake someone up here and to ask the Lord, Lord, wake us up. Now You've put Your call to us. Do we know the time of our visitation? Do we know that right now, tonight, the Lord is calling for somebody to turn their life around? Somebody to see that that might be you. That might be you one day that doesn't miss the calamity. Because it's the time of visitation. It's the last time. And so tonight, I can't... I can't apologize. Folks, I'm warning you in the fear of the Lord tonight. Isaiah 1 and 18 says this, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." We don't have anything to hide behind to say, well, I'm too bad, do we? Because the Lord already told us, bring them to me. They're going to be white as snow. I'm going to scrub them with my blood, faith in that blood, and they're going to be as white as snow. And so what He's wanting is an exchange. He's crying out to you and me tonight for us to settle some things in our life. The time of visitation is now. The Lord is giving a visitation tonight. That now is the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Now's the time when the Lord wants to speak to you and me and draw us to Him. Now, this last one where we saw where He sent one prophet and another and another and another, and then His Son. And we see that. You know, those were all, in my mind, they're almost like scenes that unfold. And you see, maybe you've seen a play or something at some time. And the scenes are different. At this time, the scene has certain background and everything. The next scene has different characters, maybe. And different, everything's different. And then the next scene is different. And we see it's like that in our life, isn't it? And we walk through life and we start getting down, sometimes down toward the other end of life. Things are very different than they were in the first scenes of our life. And the Lord calls again, doesn't He? And He's faithful. It's the time. It's the time. Do we know the time of our visitation? Do we know the time when the Lord is speaking to us and telling us, I want you to take heed to me. I want you to take heed because this is your time. I don't know if it's your last time or not. For some folks, it's their last time because they land up in a car wreck a day after. Or something. I've seen it so. Remember a young man here one time, and I'm not just trying to scare us here, but I just want to tell you what happened. He was here, and the Spirit of the Lord began to deal in the service. And this man, this young man that I knew, that I had known for years, he was, if I remember right, his knuckles were white. He was under such conviction. The visitation of the Lord was so strong with him, and yet he resisted it. And do you know, a week later, the boy drowned. And we all knew him. He grew up here in this congregation. Do you know, the day of visitation from the Lord is a special time. It's a special time when God is calling and when He's speaking to us. You know, there's times of visitation all through our life if we're fortunate. If we're fortunate to live that long. Now, this boy didn't live that long. He was 18 or 20 or something like that. And so, you know, there's a time, and that's our time. There's a time when the Lord deals with us about things, and He keeps talking to us. You know, we don't want to just put Him off and say, well, He'll be back next year, next camp meeting, I'll deal with it then. We don't know, folks. The visitation of the Lord is very real. And so in Isaiah it says, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now I want to ask you something here. You see these times here? What's the difference in these times? The first time the Lord says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, though they're red, they're going to be as white as snow. But He says there's going to be another time. If ye be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. I'm going to bless your life. I'm going to give to you. Who hath believed our report? Who believes it's true? Who believes it to the point they change their life and they take up their cross and they follow the Lord? And so there's going to be also a time when He says, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And so tonight, these are very stout things tonight that we're reading. There's different times and there's different seasons. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's what makes it fearful, isn't it? That's what makes it heavy. That's what makes it something that we really ought to take heed to, is because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And let's look over in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. And it says, for He saith, 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. There's a time that is accepted. And it's not forever. We're not going to be here in 100 years, folks. Most of us aren't going to be here in 100 years. That's not going to be our time. If we have not made our peace with the Lord in the accepted time, it'll be like that. Where we are when we die is where we are. And so He says, and in the day of salvation, I have succored thee. I have reached out to you. Hasn't the Lord done that? Hasn't the Lord reached out to you? He has to me. I know others that He's done that for. He's reached out. I believe He does that to all of us. He's doing that tonight to you and me. Now is the accepted. Behold, He says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the time of visitation, folks. The Lord speaks to our heart. That's the time to move. Not put it off for a future time or a future day. But when the Lord speaks, that's the time to get up and do His will. If He speaks to you about a calling or something like, follow Him. Don't put it off and say someday. Folks, when the Lord visits us, that is the day of visit. That is the time, and He wants us to recognize, this is the time, this is when the Lord is talking to me. I want to move when He speaks to me. I want to read, I don't have a long message here. I just have a few words. But I want to read 2 Peter 3, starting at verse 7, down through 18. And it says this. Now, if you'll pardon me, I'm going to read a little bit in Eusebius' history where he quotes Josephus. These were historians. Josephus was a historian during the siege of Jerusalem. He lived during that time in Israel. And we find Josephus was a historian about 300. He wrote his book. I think he finished it about 325 A.D. And he quoted some of Josephus' writings. They're easy to get a hold of. We can all find them. I want to read to you a little bit about what happened during the siege of Jerusalem. During the time that the Lord wept, and he said, he wept over what was going to come. And so I want to read to you a little about what he said, what he saw coming ahead of time, if you'll allow me to. I hardly know where to start and stop on this because I don't want to read too much, but I want to read a little bit. This is chapter 6 in Eusebius' Ecclesiastical History. Very interesting book. It has a lot in it. Tells a lot about the Gospels, the things that were accepted of the saints historically through the years before this time, the books of the Bible that they accepted. It says, "Let us then, with the fifth book of Josephus' history, again in our hands, go through the tragedy of events which then occurred. It was equally dangerous," says he, "for the more wealthy to remain, for under the pretext of desertion, a man was slain for his wealth. But the madness of the rioters increased with the famine, and both kinds of misery were inflamed from day to day. Provisions were plainly nowhere to be had. Hence, they burst into houses to search for food. And if they found any, they would scourge the owners as if they intended to deny they had it. But if they found none, they tortured them as if they had carefully concealed it." Now remember, this was Jerusalem, and it was surrounded by Titus' armies, so the people couldn't get out. If they went out, they got killed. If they stayed in, they were tortured and starved. Jesus saw this happening, and he said, because of the day of your visitation, you didn't know it, this was coming. I want to read this for a purpose that I'll explain here in a few minutes. But so that's the context of the reading that we're doing, and I probably won't read the worst of it. But this was a most tormenting time for these people. Hideous beyond belief. You should read it for yourself. So they would burst into the houses, and if they found food, then they would torture the people, because as if they should have given them some or whatever. And so they would look. I've read this in Josephus' account himself. And they would look for somebody that looked like they had been eating. They weren't starved to death. And they knew they had food. And so they'd go to their house. And they would go into their house. And they would torture them until they told them where their food was. And if they were blessed, lucky, whatever you say, they didn't get killed in the process. And so they would scourge the owners as if they intended to deny they had it. But if they found none, they tortured them as if they had carefully concealed it. The bodies of the poor wretches, however, were evidence enough whether they had or had not. Some of them, therefore, that were yet sound in health, they supposed to have an abundance of food. But those that were wan and pallid, they passed by. For it seemed absurd to kill men that were soon likely to die for want. Many secretly exchanged their property for a single measure of wheat, if they happened to be the more wealthy of barley, if they were of the poorer sort. Then, locking themselves in the most retired parts of their houses, some from excessive hunger eat the grain unprepared. Others, however, baked it according as necessity or fear directed. As to a table, there was none set anywhere, but taking the food from the fire, they tore it asunder, yet crude and raw. Wretched indeed was the fare, and a lamentable sight it was, where the most powerful grasped after all, and the weaker were constrained to mourn. For famine surpasses all other evils, but it destroys nothing so effectually as shame. For that which would otherwise demand some regard is condemned in this. Thus wives tore away the food from the very mouths of their husbands. I'm not going to read all of this. I'm going to read a little of it so you get the taste of it. Wives tore away the food from the very mouths of their husbands, children from their parents, and what was most wretched of all, mothers from their infants. so that whilst their dearest children lay wasting in their arms, there was not shame enough to prevent them taking away the very drops that supported life. And even in doing this, they did not remain undiscovered. For whenever they saw a door locked, this was a sign that those within were taking food. And then immediately bursting open the doors, they rushed in and choked them, almost forcing the morsels out of their very throats. Old men were beaten that held back their food, and women were torn by the hair if they concealed what they had in their hands. Nor was there any pity for gray hairs or for infants. But taking up the infants clinging to the morsels, they dashed them to the ground. But they were much more cruel to those who anticipated their entrance and were devouring what they wished to seize, just as if they had been wronged by them. They also devised terrible modes of torture to discover where there was any food. And so you get the picture. And I'm going to leave it at that. It's much worse than what I read, actually. That's a very mild version of what actually happened. And so, you know, I look at that and I have to believe where the Lord isn't is the most cruel, degrading, torturous punishment there is. Do you know there's going to be a place one day where the Lord isn't? Folks, we've got to consider these things in our life. Are we just trying to scare? I don't know what you call it. Maybe I am a little bit. I hope it scares you. I'm scared to death of it. I want to make sure I make heaven my home. I want to make sure I don't go to that miserable place. I think sometimes the Lord took his hand off just so we could get a little sight of what happens when he's not in the mix. That's what Satan does. If I was to tell you, it would be unkind to read some of the things that happened in the siege of Jerusalem in this kind of setting. It's so sick beyond measure that it would almost make some probably have nightmares. But folks, that's what it is. And so I want to read one last set of scriptures. I want you to consider something tonight, that there is going to be a time, a last visitation, when the Lord has said, I called, I talked to you. How many times I sent my messengers, I impassioned them, I gave them my word. What more could I have done? I spoke to you in the night. I woke you up. I talked to you by the wayside. I worked with you. And now you rejected all of that. And now there is no more visitations of mercy left. And so today is the day of visitation. And I want us to keep that in mind. So we read these last scriptures. 2 Peter 3:7 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Folks, there's going to be a day that all of this is kept in store against a day where there's going to be the judgment and the final say of ungodly men. It says perdition. "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now, we know there's scoffers all around us, don't we? Don't be deceived by those things. Folks, if God don't come for another 200 years, he's coming back. He's going to come back, and he's going to judge the world. And we want to believe, don't we? We want to take as Noah did, as those that have gone before us, and believe him and follow him. It says here, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not that any should perish," not willing that any should perish. Did you know? Don't ever buy into it that the Lord's willing for some people to perish. That's false doctrine. It's false. The Lord's not willing that any should perish. There's an abundance of scriptures that speak so in the Word. But he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, I want to remember this, folks. I know this. I've read this. I've heard it many times, and I believe it. The day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. I'm not going to know when he's going to come. Therefore, I must be ready now. I've got to see that my soul is ready to meet God. Because what we read that happened in the siege of Jerusalem, and Christ wept and shed tears over, is not going to be anything compared to what people are going to suffer in eternal hellfire and punishment. And so it says here, the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Folks, what kind of people, the scripture says, what kind of people should we be in all manner of godly living and holy conversation and godliness, knowing these kind of things? And it says here, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know, is that something that we're preaching, or is that something that the Lord preaches? Is that the first time we find that in the Bible, without spot and blameless? How many times is it there? How many times does the Lord have to tell us we can't live sloppy lives and get in? We're going to have a life without spot and blameless to make it to heaven. That's only possible by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus. But we better apply ourselves, hadn't we? Because the Lord's coming back one day. And it says here, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. Now Peter knew that Paul wrote these, didn't he? He knew about some of these things, and he said, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or twist is the word, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Now, folks, we're going to meet the Lord on this kind of turf, aren't we? Because he told us, didn't he? How much plainer does it get? Now Peter tells us, you know, Paul writes of these things in all his epistles. Sometimes they're kind of hard to understand the way he writes them. But you know what? People twist them to their own destruction. But you know what the Lord's telling us? I want you to meet me in peace, without spot and blameless. I want you to meet me like that. And so that's what the Lord's telling us. Disregard all the ideas and all how it's going to happen and all those things. Don't let that confuse us. Don't let that be a smokescreen for the fact that God is coming back for a people that has left the world behind. They're different than the world. They've washed their sins in the blood of Jesus, and he's given them white robes for those red, spotted, dirty garments of the flesh and of sin. And the Lord has traded for those. And so, folks, let's don't be led away with the error of the wicked. So he says, ye therefore, beloved, that's you and me, folks. He says, seeing you know these things before, beware. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So I want to leave us with those little warnings tonight. I don't know what the Lord had in mind today, but I know one thing. I know when the Lord starts really talking to you, to me. And folks, I believe the Lord gave this for us tonight. And I ask us to consider the words from the Word of the Lord. And consider these things, lest we also be led away with the error of the wicked. The error of the wicked, the unbelief, the putting off, I don't understand. Well, all of these things. Folks, there comes a time when the Lord says, your visitation, this is the time of your visitation. This is when I'm speaking to you. Will it be that tomorrow? I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know what's going to happen. Could it be that someone here is right there at that brink and this is their last visitation? I don't know. But I will tell you this. We better know the time of our visitation. When the Lord speaks to us, let's yield to Him. Let's give it to Him. Lord, I really want to serve You. I want to make sure that I'm ready to meet You. That I'm not led away with the error of unbelief, with the error of the wicked, with the error of all the conglomeration of false ideas and doctrines until things become so confused that everybody's mind gets off the issue that the Lord wants to save us from our sins. And He wants to change our life and make our life please Him. And the Lord wants to do that. And then He goes on to say, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So the Lord bless each one of us tonight. I testify to you that the Lord will be the best friend you ever had if you serve Him with all your heart. He'll stand before you. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen Him stand in. I cannot tell you how many times He has stood in for His people. How many times He has stopped what would have possibly happened to Sister Dina today. That car hurtling to her head on at 100 miles an hour or so. And it got the car behind her. What a sad thing. That's too bad. But you know what, folks? I testify that to serve the Lord, it pays. It pays. Not only in the future, it pays now, folks. Lord bless each one of us tonight.